Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as, well, an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. A man I've long admired for the intelligence he brings to bear on not only this phase of that war, but previous ones as well, is our guest, I'm very pleased to say, for a full hour. He's Professor J. Michael Waller. He is currently a senior reporter and one of two national security reporters for American Media Institute, a senior fellow for the Center for Security Policy, and the co-author of a new book, Meeting the Ideological Challenge of Islamism, How to Combat Modern Radical Islam. Michael Waller, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. Great to have you with me.
It's good to be with you, Frank.
I guess one of the things that we could usefully do, Michael, as a kind of backdrop for your new book, is to talk a little bit about how you saw the presidents addressing the question of the ideological challenge of Islamism in his remarks to the nation last night from the Oval Office. He talked a lot about ideology, but I don't remember the term Islamism being used.
No, he's running away from that term just the way he and people like him ran away from naming communism by name during the Cold War. They really see America as the problem, and people who think the way we do as the problem, the mother of all problems, and they are desperate to obfuscate the issue and place blame elsewhere.
And to the extent that they're placing the blame, where are they placing it?
Well, they're placing it first on distorting the ideological threat, to say that the people who are carrying out the threat in the name of Islam are not real Muslims, and therefore they're missing the whole point of the ideological challenge and how to combat it. Because if you don't understand that, then there's no way you can combat it. And second, they're blaming people like you and me, who name the threat by name, who go into great detail about it, and who try to find ways to solve the problem by being very direct about saying what the problem is. And in his view, that is the biggest danger of all, because that radicalizes those of the ideology he dares not name in order to carry out the attacks that they carry out.
So how should we call this ideology, Michael? How do we best understand both its inherent character and its adherents? Might they actually include a lot of people besides the Islamic State?
Yes, there are a lot, because you have to look at the end state. What do these people want? What are their strategic goals? What are they trying to accomplish? Not how are they trying to accomplish it, which is what the focus has been on. It's been on violence. It's been on breaking the law. It's been on terrorizing. That's the how. We want to look at the what end state. And there you find something that's very upsetting to people like President Obama, because ISIS and Al-Qaeda have the exact same end goals as the Muslim Brotherhood, and as front groups of the Muslim Brotherhood like CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, and other groups. They have the exact same end goals. Well, these are allies, political allies, and friends of the president, and vice versa. And for him to admit that his friends have the same end goals as ISIS and Al-Qaeda is a politically impossible thing for him to do.
Well, this is really the rub, it seems to me, Michael Waller, that we've got an ideology we can't name and a group of people who adhere to it that are only a subset of the larger universe. I've used the term, and a number of our colleagues have as well, to describe this ideology as Sharia. And I wonder what you make of that, Michael. It's clear that there are lots of Muslims around the world who may be practicing what they consider to be Sharia, who are not a problem, but the Sharia that they're following, it would seem, doesn't bear much of a resemblance to that that the authorities of Islam embrace. And I'm trying to both be clear about the nature of this problem and, again, to be prescriptive thereby about what you do about it.
Well, Sharia is a really good name for the ideology in terms of helping the average person understand what it is. Honest people are still going to disagree, but because it's such a difficult one to tackle, simply because there are many Muslims who are devout followers of Islam who don't mean us any harm. And when we do say Islam is the problem, then we're taking a billion people and making all of them the problem, and then you're getting into theological arguments, getting down rabbit holes that are impossible to get out of, even among a lot of people in our own side of the argument. Whereas Sharia is more succinct because it is a political and legal system. It's not a religion. It's the political and legal manifestation of adherence to Islam, in which the words of the Quran are manifested literally. And therefore, if you're going to take those manifestations literally and in modern day society, it has to have a word. So let's give it the word that they use themselves, which is Sharia.
And that's really the point. It's not as though we're manufacturing a term here or assigning it to people who don't readily acknowledge that's what they're about. I guess the attendant question that occurs, Michael Waller, is when you do describe the ideology as Sharia, you also wind up discovering that there are nation states that embrace this program as well, notably Saudi Arabia, a country that is widely described in elite Washington circles as our friend and ally in the Middle East. Talk about Saudi Arabia and which side it's actually on, Mike.
Saudi Arabia is really an established kingdom that ISIS would like to become. Really, how do they differ? The only reason that we think of them differently is that they've been around for, 70 or 80 years, and we have diplomatic relations with them, and a lot of our politicians and people in business are making a lot of money from them. But if you look at how the Saudis run their kingdom, and let's keep in mind, Saudi Arabia means the Arabia of the Saud family. So it's a family-run kingdom. Regime, the constitution of the House of Saud, of the Saudi government, is the Quran. And their interpretation of the Quran is pretty much the same as ISIS's interpretation of the Quran, which is to have a regime that is run by Sharia law, under Sharia law, and that anyone who deviates from the norm is to have their arms and legs cut off and their heads cut off.
Mike, let me ask you, in addition to that brutal, repressive application of Sharia internally, what does the Saudi government's adherence to this supremacist doctrine translate into in terms of their own involvement internationally in the sorts of things that we're concerned about from the Islamic State and the Muslim Brotherhood and the rest?
Sure. Well, the Saudi government, it's interesting to watch because it's divided against itself right now, because it's finding itself being destroyed by the very ideological forces that it unleashed and financed and promoted over the decades. But Saudi Arabia is the single greatest sponsor of the Sharia compliance terrorism and subversion that are plaguing the world today through their government-run seminaries, through their government's Ministry of Religious Affairs, through their government-run mandates, and through their government-run the subversive side of their foreign policy, kind of like the Soviets with their communist subversion. They had their state-to-state relationships with governments, but then they had a parallel subversive track to overthrow those governments, and the Saudis have something rather similar for Sharia.
Michael, we have to pause for just a second, but I want to come back to that nexus because, among other things that you have studied closely and taught very importantly about, is the extent to which the communists have, in fact, perhaps imbued these modern-day jihadists with some of the techniques of their effort to destroy Western civilization, for want of a better term. We'll be right back with more in this very special hour-long broadcast with Michael Waller, the co-author of Meeting the Ideological Challenge of Islamism, How to Combat Modern Radical Islam. And more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.